I do have an illustration for you tonight, which I mentioned this morning. We are going to look at and hopefully bring this truth home to you as we get into it. And we're going to read Jeremiah chapter 20, verses 1 through 7. You follow along with me as I read this text and kind of lay out the story for you here. In Jeremiah chapter 20, verse number 1, he says, "Now Pashur, the son of Mar, the priest, who was also the chief governor in the house of the Lord, heard that Jeremiah prophesied these things. Then Pashur smote Jeremiah the prophet and put him in stocks that were in the high gate of Benjamin, which was by the house of the Lord. And it came to pass on the morrow that Pashur brought forth Jeremiah out of the stocks. Then said Jeremiah unto him, The Lord hath not called thy name Pashur, but Magar-Missabib. For thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will make thee a terror to thyself." Magar-Missabib means terror on every side, or fear on every side. And that's why he says this, "I will make thee a terror to thyself and to all thy friends, and they shall fall by the sword of thine enemies, and thine eyes shall behold it. And I will give all Judah into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall carry them captive into Babylon and shall slay them with the sword." Verse number 5, "Moreover, I will deliver all the strength of the city, of this city, and all the labors thereof, and all the precious things thereof, and all the treasures of the kings of Judah will I give unto the hand of their enemies. And thou, Pashur, and all that dwell in thine house shall go into captivity, and thou shalt come to Babylon, and there thou shalt die. And thou shalt be buried there, thou and all thy friends to whom thou hast prophesied lies. O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and I hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. Everyone mocketh me." I want to read a couple more verses. He says in verse number 8, he says, "For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily." Does anybody know what derision means? Derision, you have a reference Bible, or are you looking in the Bible there? Derision? Derision means to mock, to laugh at, to make fun of. He says, "I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart, as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay." I'm going to preach tonight a short message entitled Jeremiah's Delusion. Jeremiah's Delusion. Let me pray. Lord, we thank you for tonight and the opportunity to gather together in your house. We thank you, God, for the great time that you've given us in fellowship with one another, being encouraged by the testimonies that were shared. Lord, those that were able to say the verse tonight and the word of God being hidden in their heart. We thank you for the time of song where we sang to you, for the great special we just heard, and the love of Christ that lifted us. We pray now, Lord, as we turn our hearts towards heaven and towards you, I pray, God, that you would open the word of God and speak to us, that you would challenge everyone here how you would see fit. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So first of all, I want to give you the description. The description. We're going to talk about this passage of Scripture. What are we dealing with here? This passage of Scripture gives to us the persecution of Jeremiah by this man named Pashur. Now, Pashur saw fit to persecute him. He says in verse number 1, Pashur heard him say these things. What did Jeremiah say that Pashur didn't like? It says Pashur heard him say these things. So he was saying something. So let's turn back to chapter number 19 and just get this in context to see what it was Jeremiah was saying. We're going to read just a couple of verses through this passage. We're not going to read all of it. Let's start with verse number 1 and 2. He says, "Thus saith the Lord, Go and get a potter's earthen bottle and take of the ancients of the people and of the ancients of the priest, and go forth unto the valley of the sons of Hinnom, which is by the entry of the east gate, and proclaim there the words that I shall tell thee. So he was given direction by God to say something in particular, right? God said, Jeremiah, get thee an earthen vessel and go and say exactly what I'm going to tell you to say. So Jeremiah said, okay, and he went to go do it. Now look down in verses 7, 8, and 9. He's proclaiming what God said. God said, and I will make void the council of Judah and Jerusalem in this place, and I will cause them to fall by the sword before their enemies and by their hands of them that seek their lives, and their carcasses will I give to be meat for the fowls of heaven and for the beast of the earth. And I will make this city desolate, and a hissing, every one that passes thereby shall be astonished and hiss because of the plagues thereof. And I will cause them to eat the flesh of their sons and the flesh of their daughters, and they shall eat every one the flesh of his friend in the siege and straitness wherewith they are enemies, and they that seek their lives shall straighten them. That's a pretty strong message. He's telling them, hey, if you do not repent, if you don't turn back to God, this is what God's going to do. And he's giving them a direct message from God. Now look down towards the end of the chapter, verse number 14 and 15. Then came Jeremiah from Tophet, whether the Lord had sent him to prophesy, and he stood in the court of the Lord's house, and he said unto the people, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring upon this city and upon all her towns all the evil that I have pronounced against it, because they have hardened their necks that they might not hear my words. And in verse number 1, he says, now Pashur. Now Pashur heard him say these things, and Pashur did not like what he heard. He did not like the truth from the Word of God, directly from God. You know that this is how the world has always responded to the truth. The world has never accepted it. The world has never liked it. The world has always, from the Old Testament, even from the mouth of Jesus, they didn't like the truth. And this world today looks at Christians who hold high the Word of God and lift up the cross, and they call us hate mongers. They call us haters. They say we don't have any love because we want to present and preach the truth. They don't like the truth. But let me remind you, they've never liked the truth. They've always stood against the truth. Until the Spirit of God reaches down into their soul and changes them from the inside out. They don't like the truth. Pashur, the chief governor. What does it say? He's the chief governor what? In verse number 1. Chief governor of? The house of the Lord. If anybody should embrace the truth and enjoy hearing the truth, it ought to be the chief governor of the house of the Lord. Let me just remind you, in today's world, that not everybody that stands in a pulpit is preaching the truth. Not everybody that stands up and says, thus saith the Lord, is giving you the unadulterated truth of the Word of God. Just because they call themselves the chief governor or the pastor or the bishop or the whatever title they want to put behind their name does not mean that they're presenting the truth unto you. Matter of fact, verse number 6, the last phrase in verse number 6 says that all of Pashur's friends were going to be punished. Why? Because all of his friends that he did what to? Prophesied lies. You know, there's a lot of false prophets prophesying lies out there in the world today. They are presenting, at the very best, a watered-down gospel, a weak Christianity, and at worst, they're preaching flat-out heresy. You have got to be careful and discerning when you're listening to people that you do not know. You've got to know whether it is you're hearing truth or not. Last Wednesday, my family and I and the interns got to go to D.C. Lots of illustrations from the trip to D.C. We went to the Bureau of Engraving and got to see where they make all the money that we use. I mean, that's neat. They had whole pallets of money sitting there. I mean, the people that work there must just be like just paper to them because they just handle it so much, you know. On one pallet, 640,000 bills make one pallet. If they're $1 bills, it's $640,000. If they're $100 bills, I think that's $64 million on one pallet. And there was lots of pallets around there. I mean, we were, you know, if you're just looking at that saying, man, just one stack, just one little stack could build our building. I mean, one stack could make our life so much easier. But in fact, it's not actually money until it leaves there. And then it is put, those serial numbers are put into circulation. Until then, it's just paper. But they went over and over again and talked about the methods that they kept introducing to try and stop counterfeiters. They kept saying, we had to do this to stop counterfeiters. We added this to stop counterfeiters. We added color-changing ink, and we added the security strip, and we added the embossed raised ink, and we added so many things they kept adding over the years. And then about every 7 to 10 years, they redesigned the bill completely to stop counterfeiters. And the idea that I want you to understand is that I don't know if they still do this, but I know years ago, the way they used to, I guess they give them markers now to decide to find counterfeit money. They give them a marker and they can mark it. But years ago, the way they used to train bank tellers is they let them handle real money over and over and over and over again. And then when a counterfeit dollar came through, it was like, that doesn't feel right. Bob could probably feel a counterfeit dollar. You know, he's like, that doesn't feel right. Something is not real. Something does not add up. That is not the right thing. And it may look really, really close, but it's not the real thing. And if you and I are going to know the real thing and know when we're hearing a false thing, we have to know this book. We have to know the Word of God. You know, our young people and really all of the adults here really should be able to, if you walk into a church, if you go to some place to visit and you go into church and they get up and they begin to preach, there should be something in you right away that tells you this is ringing true or this is not adding up. Brother Joe Roberts just recently went to a wedding with somebody, and he said they were in the church, and the guy got up to speak, and he started saying some things, and he said right away, it was like, that's not true. That's not true. That is not what the Bible says. That's because he's been around right doctrine long enough that it sticks out to him. We need to get right doctrine around our church and around our young people, and you need to bathe yourself in it so that you have a solid foundation and you can pick it out and you know when you're hearing truth or not. Every one of us should be able to discern and have a level of spiritual discernment to know whether we're hearing a watered-down gospel. Another one of our church members, I think it was last Christmas, went to a family relative Christmas play for the children. And the play went really well. It went good. The pastor got up at the end of the play and congratulated everybody and talked for a few minutes, and then they dismissed. And the person from here said there was no throwing the net. There was no call for salvation. There was no, I mean, this is a church. The reason we do this is that people might be saved. It's not a talent show. It's to reach the lost. But there was no casting the net. There was no drawing that in. And there was something in their heart that says that doesn't ring true for what God's house is supposed to be. And it's not a matter of having a critical or a judgmental spirit against others, but there ought to be something in you that can discern the truth. And you know you're hearing the truth. You know, let me point this out too. You know that they make counterfeit bills that are the same size, same color, same paperweight, same feel. I mean, you and I probably couldn't even pick them out. What I'm saying is, it's not complete wacko crazy stuff that's going to draw you away. You know that the Mormons are off base. You know you don't have to wear holy underwear to go to heaven. You know that some of the doctrines that they teach are so far gone. You're not going to be drawn away by that. But the devil is going to produce and present a counterfeit to you that is very, very, very close to the real thing, so that you might be drawn away by that. What I'm saying is, you got to be discerning in today's world. You got to be discerning. The devil is going to try and pull you away. We need to be around real, true, right doctrine often enough that we know it and we can discern when we hear false doctrine. Pascher put Jeremiah in stocks in verse number 2. He put him in stocks in the gate by the church for everybody to laugh. Here's Jeremiah the prophet, and right by the church, he gets put in stocks for everybody to laugh and mock and be made fun of. Jeremiah changes his name to Magor Misabib, which means terror on every side. In verses 1 through 6, we see Jeremiah talking to Pascher, but in verses 7 and 8, he starts to talk to God. He starts to share his heart. He starts to tell God what he's feeling. And that's where we see the deception. He says in verse number 7, O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily, everyone mocketh me. For since I spake, I cried out, I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me, and a derision daily. In verse number 9, he says, Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. Jeremiah the prophet, because of the attacks of the devil, because of the mocking of men, got to the place where he said, I will not speak any more of him. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, said, I'm done. I'm not going to talk any more about God. What's the next word in the text? But this is Jeremiah's delusion. That's what he thought. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. Jeremiah said, I reached a point where I wasn't going to say anything else about God. I was done preaching the truth. But the word of God was inside of me. The message was there, and I couldn't help. I had to get it out. It was a fire that was burning in my bosom, and I had to proclaim it to those that came up. He had deceived his own self into thinking maybe he could be quiet. You see, what he was saying is, I was wrong in my thinking to believe that I had the ability not to speak what was in my heart. Now, what I'm getting to is that what was in Jeremiah's heart is what came out. The reason we're not the witness that we should be, the reason we don't proclaim the word of God to the lost around us, is because that is not what's in our heart. You see, Pastor Caleb, I can't believe you'd say that about me. I didn't. God did. In Matthew 12:34, he says, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. what's in the heart is what's going to come out. Jeremiah was deceived into thinking that he could somehow squash that down. Somehow he could not say that. Somehow he could keep from sharing what was in his heart. But that doesn't happen. What's in our heart comes out. And that's going to come out. Jeremiah was deceived in thinking he could hold that down. We talked about this in Sunday school a few weeks ago as we talked about the tongue. And if we want to change what comes out of our tongue, we've got to change what goes into our heart. That's why it's vitally important that you have a consistent walk with God. That's why you say, I read the Bible and I'm not sure what it's doing for me. You're putting God's word in your heart. But I don't really notice any difference, but you're putting God's word in. It's not, I mean, I don't feel all spiritual and I'm not full and just thrilled about my relationship with God, but you're putting God's word in. You're putting God's word in. That's why you got to have a consistent walk with God. That's why you need to be memorizing your Bible. That's why we have a Bible reading schedule. And that's why we have the verses that we try and motivate the church family to remember to hide God's word in your heart. That's why we have master clubs for the young people to be able to study and learn and memorize the word of God so that becomes a part of their heart. That's why you should have family altar. Time with your family. Hiding God's word in your heart. The family that prays together stays together. There's a lot of truth in that, what has become a common saying. There's something about sharing your heart with, even if it's just you and your wife, kneeling down and just praying, sharing your heart and your burdens with God, and letting your wife hear you pray for her and for her needs and for what's going on in your life, and then you hearing her pray for her concerns and what's going on in her life, hey, it knits your heart together in a very special way. You say, Pastor Caleb, it's uncomfortable to do that. That's because you don't do it enough. If you did it more, it'd be comfortable. It would be the normal. So it might be uncomfortable for a few days, and she might say, why are we doing this? We haven't done this in a long time. Well, that's okay. You can start. You can start. You see, I said I was going to illustrate this. So I brought a couple of things tonight. We've been talking about foot washing. But we're not doing foot washing. You see, what happens, what we're supposed to do as believers, can somebody give me a reference for the Bible, or just quote the verse that has to do with the Bible being referenced or typed of like water? Being washed through the water of the word, is that right? Any others? Any other verses? Water has been looked at, and I'm not crazy, right? You guys with me? Okay, this is going to represent the word of God. You see, what we're supposed to do as Christians is we're supposed to read the word of God. And you say, oh, that didn't make any difference. I know, but you just read the word of God. And you spend a little bit more time in the word of God. You say, Pastor Caleb, it's not, I don't notice any change. Yeah, I know, but if you just keep reading the word of God, you keep putting the word of God. That's why it's important that you're in church on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Thursday night. Because every opportunity you have to put a little bit of the word of God in, you're putting a little bit of the Word of God in. And the Word of God, you're becoming saturated with that. And as you put the Word of God in, pretty soon, that's what starts coming out. That's what a Sunday school teacher does when they go home on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and they start reading the Word of God and, you know, looking at their lesson and studying to prepare. And then on Sunday morning, they come into church. I'm going to use another thing so I don't get my hands all wet. They come into church and they wring it all out. They give it to others. And then they go back and begin studying and reading the Word of God. You see, what goes in is what's going to come out. Now, this is going to fall down. Let me show you what most Christians do. This is Dr. Pepper. This is going to represent all the base things of life. You notice we're not using Mountain Dew. What I'm saying is they go home on Monday and they start soaking up the world. Tuesday, they get a little bit more of the world. Wednesday, they get a little more of the world. Thursday, they get a little more of the world. They start watching things on television. They start enjoying some worldly book. They spend a lot of time reading magazines. They spend a lot of time listening to the radio. They haven't picked up the Word of God since Sunday. They keep getting the world. And then they come into church on Sunday, and they get their little drop of water. And they wonder why, when the pressures of life come, what comes out? The world comes out. Because that's what they've put in. The exciting thing is that no matter how much of this you have in there, if you stop putting it in and you keep putting this in, that you can be made clean through the washing of the Word of God. We've got to put it in if that's what we want to come out. Jeremiah was deceived to think that he could say anything else because that's what was in his heart. And we are deceived if we think that we can live our life week after week putting the world in and expect to get spirituality out. Expect to get a relationship with God out of it. Expect to get anything but the world out. We've got to change what we're putting in. Let me give you the danger, and we'll be done. You see, the danger is that the devil's going to do all he can to try and keep you from absorbing the Word of God. He's going to do all he can to stop you. That's why he attacked Jeremiah. But Jeremiah was beaten. He was slapped. He was mocked. He was in derision. He was made fun of. He went into the stocks. He endured much because of the Word of God. And the devil's going to do all he can to stop you from sharing the Word of God and allowing the Word of God to soak in. Don't get discouraged. You're going to get to the place because of the attacks of the devil and because of this world and the flesh. You're going to get to the place where you say, I just don't want to do it anymore. It's too hard. I can't be that spiritual, Pastor. But if you just keep putting it in, that's what's going to come out. Just keep putting it in. You don't have to feel that spiritual. You just have to keep putting it in. Look at verse number 10. Even his friends wanted him to stop. He said, "For I heard the defaming of many, fear on every side, reports saying that, and we will report it, all my familiars watched for my halting, saying, peradventure he will be enticed, and we shall prevail against him, and we shall take our revenge on him." Even his familiars, that's his friends, people he knew, people he called friend, and they wanted him to stop. You want to be a witness for the Lord, but you're not sure how? Just put it in. You're not sure what to say to other people? Just put it in. You're not sure how to share the gospel or how to talk about the Word of God? Just keep putting it in. It's what's going to come out if you just do that. The exciting thing is, look at verse number 13. Just read verse number 11. He says, "But the Lord is with me as a mighty, terrible one. Therefore, my persecutors shall stumble and they shall not prevail. They shall be greatly ashamed, for they shall not prosper. Their everlasting confusion shall never be forgotten. But, O Lord of hosts, that triest the righteous, and seeth the reins of the heart, let me see thy vengeance on them, for unto thee have I opened my case. Verse number 13, he says, sing unto the Lord, praise ye the Lord, for he hath delivered the soul of the poor from the hand of the evildoers. You see, he felt like singing a song. From the beginning of the chapter, we saw Jeremiah in stocks, ready to give up. Said, I just can't say anything else for God. I can't do it anymore. But he was fooling himself, because what he had filled his heart with is what was going to come out. And the word of God came out of him, and his relationship was renewed with God, and he felt close to God, and he realized God was with him. When you're putting the word of God in, when you're spending time in God's word, God's going to be with you. Like Moses, who came down from the mountain, and they said his face shone with a light. When you're with God, people see it, and God is with you. And then you'll feel and know his presence in your life, and you'll have a song that you want to sing. You'll have a song to sing because God is so good to you. The devil's going to try and stop you, but if you just keep putting it in, that's what's going to come out. Just keep doing right, and you'll have a reason to sing a song. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.